me with assistance from the Community Broadcasting Foundation and heard from across Australia to around the world online.
You're listening to Zed Games, where we bring you the best in gaming news, reviews, community and culture.
Want to get in touch? Find us on social media or email us on air at zedgamesau.net.
G'day Cheekies, how you doing? It's Millie here in the 4ZZZ studio for your daily dose of Zed Games.
I mean, it's a weekly. It's a weekly show.
Weekly dose.
It's daily doses for me.
It depends. All right. Listening on the podcast, maybe.
It's every day, bro.
If you binge it.
It's every day, bro, with that YouTube flow, whatever.
Gaming flow.
Zed Games flow. Millie.
Pay me, Jake Paul.
Wow.
I'm in the studio with Caitlin, Koshy, Kate, and Cringy. We're all here.
Hello. The
Young
family.
Yay.
A full house. Family.
The full family's here. Dad got us all back together for a reunion.
It took only... Oh, I mean... Koshy, just drop the phone. Just drop...
Sorry.
It's okay.
Sorry.
Koshy, you've only been on the team for like, what is it, a month?
Yeah, about that.
So...
New anniversary?
It only took... Oh. An entire month to get the entire fam together because we've all been crippled at different times.
I'm basically a cripple at the moment. Yeah. It's great. I'm covered in strapping. Hi, Harry.
That's not
physio.
A sex thing. Like, that's legit. Like, you're just busted.
Just taped
just
up.
Just taped to a wall, basically.
Basically.
She's recording from this side of the studio.
They need to just, like, put me in the bin. Just try again.
Coming up on the show, we're going to be talking about Battle Arena Melbourne.
Yes.
Yeah, you went.
All the fighting game action.
You went to IEM and I didn't go to IEM.
Yep.
And I went to BAM and you didn't go to BAM.
Pretty much.
Did you drink a lot at IEM?
Yes.
Because I drank a lot of BAM. So
sweet.
Well, that's the most we're going to say about that. We're going to talk about the event later.
Talk about fighting games, yeah.
Caitlin, you want to talk about relationships and romances in video games?
Yeah, I jumped back into Dragon Age 2 on the weekend while I was avoiding some of the things that were on TV.
I wonder what.
And it just sort of made me think, like, a lot of video games that I play have romance options and storylines, and it got me thinking, why don't we have a chat about it?
I'm going to whinge so hard about so many games that don't have romance options that need it.
Tetris, I mean, needs romance.
I'm just... Mm. Oh,
is it not romance already?
That L piece? Oh,
romance?
I'm just keen to talk about Fire Emblem for 7 years. That's what this segment is right.
Yeah, I'm going to be dropping some
BioWare.
I dragged
over the right sting for this. So,
yeah. Sad boy. Yeah.
We're ready.
Beautiful. Before all of that, though, we have The Week in Video Game News. Across Australian radio and across the world online, from 4ZZZ Studios in Brisbane, this is your weekly Zed Games news update. Nintendo is ending service of 2 mobile games in Belgium due to uncertainty around legislation regarding in-game revenue models. From August, it will no longer be possible to play or download Animal Crossing Pocket Camp and Fire Emblem Heroes in Belgium. This follows a report published last year from the Belgian Gaming Commission, which ruled that loot boxes constitute games of chance, making them subject to Belgian gaming law. This led to loot boxes in CSGO, FIFA, Overwatch, and NBA, among others, being removed from sale late last year. Nintendo's statement said, "We would like to thank all players in Belgium for playing Animal Crossing Pocket Camp and Fire Emblem Heroes." Riot Games has announced it will not be altering the arbitration clause for current employees who instigated legal action against the studio following a class action sex discrimination lawsuit. In an email to MCV UK, Riot clarified that while the staff walkout last week didn't see changes to the arbitration conditions in existing employment, other changes including a new staff council and a code of conduct review wouldn't have happened without the staff walkout. One of the walkout organisers, Jocelyn Monaghan, said, quote, "I am looking forward to the review of the code of conduct because it seriously needs to be updated to reflect current rioters' concerns for their safety," end quote. Last week, we reported that the Australian Labor Party was planning to reinstate the Australian Interactive Games Fund if it was elected to government. Following the 2019 federal election, where the LNP coalition won a majority government, the Interactive Games and Entertainment Association, or IGEA, issued a statement to the industry. The statement read, quote, "Games funding is an important piece of work we intently focus on and are very public about, but it's only one of many concerns facing the industry. As an industry, we expect a turbulent time over the coming year, and as a members association, we will do our best to mitigate risks and protect and promote the industry as best we can. More broadly, we'll also continue to speak passionately to the community and policymakers about why video games are important to Australia, socially, culturally, and economically, and can no longer be ignored," end quote. The World Health Organization will decide this week if a gaming disorder will be added to the 11th International Classification of Diseases and become officially recognized as an illness. The World Health Organization guidance defines the disorder as characterized by a pattern of persistent or recurrent gaming behavior, which may be online or offline, manifested by impaired control over gaming, increased priority given to gaming to the extent that gaming takes precedence over other life interests and daily activities, and continuation or escalation of gaming despite the occurrence of negative consequences. The 72nd session of the World Health Assembly, where health experts can vote on changes, commences on May 20th and runs until May 28th, 2019. That's all for now. For more gaming updates, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as at ZEDGamesAU.
Yeah. What a week of news.
It's been an entire week.
An entire week of news.
Oh, wow. It's been a week.
It has.
It has been a week.
It's an entire week every week, guys. I don't know if you know, but...
I don't want to think
like, after a week, there's another week, and it just keeps going until we die.
Stop.
Feel the 1,000-yard stare.
I don't like feeling like an adult. I'm 5. Thank you. Good night.
Give me my crayons.
Yeah, basically. I want crayons.
So even though there was all of that news, I thought I should just also mention up some of the issues going around in the esports community. Because Tfue, I believe, that's how you say it, he is part of the FaZe Clan, and he is currently in a legal battle with FaZe Clan because of a... basically a contract that he signed whereby FaZe Clan would receive 80% of revenue on deals that were brought to Tfue as a result of the relationship. And they're claiming that there was renegotiations to change that to be 80% to the creator, but it wasn't accepted. So that's basically the legal drama there. And I thought I'd see how everyone else felt about this.
It was a pretty predatory thing. Like, when they said 80%, it was the sponsorship deals up to 80%. So apparently, like, because there was videos that went back and forth between the two, between FaZe Banks, like, basically the owner or whatever of FaZe. Mm. And they said, oh, no, we only took 20%. We only took 20% of sponsorship deals. But the confirmed reports were, no, they just take 20% now, but they could take up to 80%.
Oh,
so they could say, oh, you better do what we say, or we're going to take 80% of your revenue because we can, because that's what the contract says.
Well, exactly. And the contract does state that, but it was signed by both parties.
Yeah.
Right. So the legal battle comes down to the fact that both parties have agreed. And while negotiation was being attempted, supposedly, by the FaZe Clan to change that to be, you know, the other way around, there was nothing from Tfue's party in regards to accepting anything. And then the legal... you know, the court case came out, so that's kind of, read your contracts.
Definitely
and,
weird.
And appreciate your creators and your esporters.
Yeah, they work very hard.
Well, I mean, also, like, sidebar, how many weeks have we been reporting on Riot?
Like, I think this is the fourth maybe week.
I'm pretty sure every episode that I've been here, it's been something.
True.
Riot.
Yeah.
It's been 4 weeks.
So, like, that strike happened last week, and we were like, cool, that it felt good. Like maybe that would get some change going that they needed. And then, Riot came out and said, nope, we're not going to alter the arbitration clause in their contract.
I'm not surprised.
For current litigation. So,
I just,
like
quickly read over like what it says here. Mm. Sorry. But it says, like, including new staff council and code of conduct review wouldn't have happened without the staff walkout.
See, that's... I feel like
they're blaming the staff.
Oh, no. So I feel like they were like, oh, you know, we wouldn't have done the code of conduct review without the walkout. But that sort of reflects, I feel like it's... They put it in this, like, positive light where it's like, okay, cool. The change that came about following the walkout was the code of conduct review. When in reality, they would not have even thought to do that prior to a walkout, which makes them look like even grosser.
Yeah.
So that... And that quote that I got from Jocelyn Monaghan, who was kind of keen in getting the walkout together...
Mm.
Clearly, she's not. She's like, cool, it needed that, like, that needed to happen.
Yes.
But also, maybe, like, let the women that are, like, trying to pursue that class action lawsuit do that. Because if they go through private arbitration, which is a way that companies and employees kind of negotiate privately, like, behind closed doors, it's not in front of a court.
Mm-hmm.
So, in that instance, the percentage of people that come out, of individuals that come out on top, is way lower compared to a court. So,
yeah.
It's a little bit difficult to try and explain the American intricacies because it's disgusting.
Yeah.
And indeed, the walkout that happened last week also took place in Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All over the place.
Right? Yeah. But they don't have to worry about arbitration clauses because Ireland's laws aren't trash.
Yes.
So
America. We'll
just blame America. Yeah.
It's just like...
It's frustrating. Like, yeah. I think the quote last week was, we shouldn't have to do this much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, like, they shouldn't. They shouldn't have to do anything. Like, this should just be common decency and, like... You know, common sense.
Maybe don't pay women less than men.
Yeah.
Maybe don't treat your staff like crap.
Don't cover up sexual harassment.
Don't, yeah.
Stuff like
I think
that.
Everyone should be listening to that point right there.
Yeah, that just, applies
you
to
know, everyone.
Everyone,
knock, knock, we're still here. We're still trying.
Yeah. Not just Riot. No. All of you.
All of you.
But Riot.
At the games industry.
Yeah.
It was weird that they had some of the game, like, some of the positions came out for certain people at Riot as well, and some of them just worked on one particular thing, like getting two teams of employees to get together as a team building activity to play League of Legends together. That was their entire job.
What?
What?
They had another one that came out that said that their entire job was to work on the curvature of someone, like one of the characters, I don't play League of Legends, one of the characters' axes or something. And they worked on that for like 3 months.
Weird.
Like, it seems like they've got a job for everybody.
Well, I mean, when you've got that much cash, like that's the AAA versus indie thing, right? Like when you're an indie, you've got to wear 3 billion different hats.
Yes.
I mean, that kind of applies to a lot of things. Like on radio, like we are the talent, but we also get all the content together ourselves.
Yeah.
If you look at sort of commercial TV or radio, that is not the case. You have a much, much bigger team. And it always blows me away to see like how many people make TV. Shut that down.
Yeah, heaps.
In gaming, when you have this much money to throw around, you can afford to hire the best to do really specific things.
Mm. Yeah.
So, but also, weird.
It's still weird. Yeah. That level of granularity, it's like, really?
Also, the models don't actually look that good.
Yeah.
Like, they spent 3 months.
League
on,
looks like crap.
Well, it's visually pleasing. I'll give it that. But, like, you see the models from, like, a top down angle. So, how are you ever going to see the curvature of that axe from a close up?
I don't know if you play it.
Actually.
Millie, you don't play League at 8K?
Really? Yeah.
I have a Mac, League. Yeah.
5K then.
Also in that, I mean, you probably could on a Mac. It's not very intense.
Yeah,
that report, we were talking about the gaming disorder, which, Kate, you've been wanting to talk about this for a few weeks now.
Mm. Yeah. So the plan was last week I would come in with a piece on internet gaming disorder in the DSM, which is the Mental Health Diagnostic and Statistic Manual. It's kind of gotten a mention in regards to wanting more therapists and clinicians to research it. But last week I was dying of some form of plague on my birthday, but I'm back now and don't have any content. But just a teaser, I will be talking about this field very soon.
Probably next week.
Next week, yes. Yeah. That soon. Yeah. That soon. Can you believe it?
So soon.
So soon.
I just remember how like husky you sounded last week, and I feel lot less good about sharing a mic with you, but I'll make do. We'll just spray it down with Blend 20. Oh, you're not diseased now?
It's not contagious anymore. Like, that's only the first few days.
It's just minor plague.
Everyone's... You all have taken turns at being diseased.
Yeah.
It hasn't come for me yet, and I'm like...
That's what I was wondering. You came back from there.
And I wasn't sick.
You're not sick yet.
Somehow you've had the luck of the Irish this year, of like not getting sick from travels.
Every time I get on a plane.
Well, same. The alcohol that just kills all the germs.
Yes, the alcohol.
Oh, no. Well, I mean...
Not how that works.
When I went to Melbourne last time and then I went to Hong Kong straight after, I did get a cold.
Yeah.
But you didn't have the plague.
No, but you've seen me. I used to get sick every month.
Yeah, you did.
So
it was disgusting.
I've gotten a lot better.
Yeah.
And
now,
go, body.
Now you've just passed it on to all of us. Thanks, Dad.
I'm so sorry.
Fine, all good.
Battle Arena Melbourne is an event... That's it. It's a real event, I swear to God.
Very good.
Tell us about it, Dad.
It has been going on for a super long time. So the first time that it was at the convention center, Jeff's Shed is what it's affectionately called in Melbourne.
Oh my God.
It literally used to be called Jeff's Shed, was the actual venue name.
Oh, I love it.
That's like how most fighting 20 years tournaments start, though. Like, just a random shed
at
somewhere.
Jeff's Shed.
Well, yeah, no. Originally, it started in hotels.
Oh, but you're at Jeff's Shed.
Yeah.
Man, it's not a Titan.
No, we can't say that. Started out at like probably some uni campus, and it was at a bunch of hotels, and nerds would cosplay. Yeah. Then it kind of got... I mean, they keep cosplaying. They don't stop.
Yeah, we do.
For
we
the
never
best.
Stop.
Then it moved to the convention center at BAM 9, so that was 2017. and they had Street Fighter V, Tekken, which I believe it was prior to launch at the time.
Yep.
Seven. Smash 4 and Smash Melee. Smash 4 was because it was on Wii U back then. We didn't have a Switch.
Yeah, we did.
No, we didn't.
But there wasn't a Smash.
There wasn't a Smash.
Yeah, there was a Switch, but there wasn't a Smash.
Yeah, no Smash. Yeah. So it doesn't count.
Want a Smash?
Mm. I haven't made that into a sting yet. I'll go back and do that.
You really need to, because that was amazing. I just exploded.
When you heard it, and I was like so disappointed. Mm-hmm. So I feel like it hasn't changed a whole lot over the last 2 years, truthfully. As someone who
does... Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, I mean, it depends on who you are. So as someone who doesn't really play fighting games, like, I go there to work. So I'm running around with a camera, getting footage, making it look hot, hot, hot. You're just flexing, guys. Don't worry about it.
Flexing over there with your job.
It is not that... It's not that great.
I do have a friend who actually goes and plays and is in tournaments and stuff. His name is TK Jabu. I believe he...
I follow them on Twitter.
Yeah. It's Gab, my friend. He plays Tekken, I think.
Yeah. Maybe not.
He's not impressed.
Because the thing is, like, I used to be kind of involved with the Smash scene in Brisbane.
Okay.
Yeah, and so a bunch of kids would go down from Brisbane to Melbourne.
Yep.
Because, like, in Brisbane, all we've really got is, like, a UQ Smash or a QUT Smash. Like, it's around uni
and
campuses.
They all smell.
Well, yeah, it's in, like,
it's in S5.
Oh, no, that's not Smash, usually.
I'm still judging.
No, well, it is in, like, it was like in the bunker or, like, internet cafes and stuff like that.
Get
as well,
some deodorant. Stop it. Get 20. Some help.
I was going to say Glenn 20.
Yeah.
What we do here?
We've got some in the corner. Yeah. Don't spray it into the mics. People do that. I'm like, no. Usually at UQ, rooms would be a lot bigger than S5, where you get cramped in with a bunch of other nerds. You still get a bunch of nerds, but it's just much bigger. Mm. Yep. So they would go down. So Smash, I'm a little bit more across. And at the time in BAM 9, it was Smash 4 and Melee. Melee will never stop being a thing. Swear to God. Melee kids.
Melee was better.
Is this a 60 hertz panel? And I'm like,
get a real job.
Like,
just get a job.
Melee was so much better. Can you wave dash? Like, I can't wave dash.
I love how the scene developed through Smash. Like, Smash Melee brought everyone together into the way that it is now.
Yeah.
But just let it die. Like, it's crawling. It's crawling.
It looks so bad now.
GameCube games have aged surprisingly well.
Yeah, but, like, when you compare it to, like, the Switch one. So,
well, yeah. But, I mean, although I will Melee say, sorry, the upshot is that people are scrounging CRTs everywhere. So you'll see, like, the Wiggles branded, like, CRTs and, like, all this other crap. And I'm like, love it. Because when I try and get professional shots and you just see this, like, garishly colored Wiggles CRT, it's fantastic.
This image of all these, like, so hyper masculine nerd dudes who are like, oh, Melee is so much
better. Around, like, a Hello Kitty TV.
Like, a Wiggles TV that says Wiggly Wiggly Christmas. I'm just like, what is this?
Like, whatever works, man.
Wake up, Jeff. What are you doing?
What's different to this year over the last years? Last year it was kind of there was Path to Evo. So Evo is this big fighting game event that happens in the US and in Japan.
Yep.
Twitch kind of established this thing with Couch Warriors and a few other sort of organizations around Australia where you can run your own tournaments, and if you do it to their rules and it's streamed and everything's, you know, tournament legal, you can actually attach yourself into a national tournament situation and basically win tickets to go to Evo in the US.
Wow.
So we had the four stages were, Smash Melee, Smash Ultimate Now, and then Tekken? Tekken and then SF.
Yeah.
After Tekken finished, so we had a Tekken Grand Final, and then we had to do a Tekken Path to Evo Grand Final.
Yep.
Pasta.
It was a bit... Path 2.
Oh.
Path to Evo.
Yum, yum, yum.
I know that I slur my words, but, like, come
sounds
on.
That's great.
So it was that for Tekken, and I think it was for Street Fighter as well. And it was for Smash Ultimate.
Ultimate, they had, well, whoever won, didn't they? Did they have the Smash Path to Evo? Because I didn't watch it.
Yeah, yeah, they had So
they just had whoever won the tournament.
That's what ran over.
Yeah.
So we had to bump out super fast. Pretty much, like, doors closed at 7.
Yep.
We had to be out of there by 10.
Hmm.
You've seen how big Melbourne Convention Centre is.
It's massive.
We didn't have, like, you've been to a PAX.
Yep.
We didn't have all of the halls. We had a hall, but that's still a lot of space.
Still a lot of space for
and
an
with
entire event.
Four big, like screens and all of the AV gear that it takes to stream to Twitch standards. That's a lot of gear.
That's a lot of gear. Yeah.
So we had to bump back quick, and Smash Ultimate went a little bit over. But I will say,
it was pretty hype though.
The thing is, I'm not a big fighting game player. Mm. I still don't own Ultimate. I need to change that. I know.
Yes, I need to get it as well.
I mean, we all used to play Adrian's, but then he left us.
I've got mine. I'll bring mine. Bring mine.
Oh, you do have. Yeah, boy.
Yeah, boy.
I love me some Smash.
But
we'll just play Smash live on it.
I'm like watching Tekken, and I'm like, I don't know what the fuck's going on. Yeah. But it's I just get amped as hell.
Yeah, it's so cool. And like the thing is I was watching the Smash tournament while Tekken was still going on. I think the grand finals were before, well, going at the same time where the Smash finals were going on, and Tekken was blowing up. Like we could hear it.
Yeah, man. Same with the other way around, right? Like if you're watching Tekken stream, Smash Ultimate Kids is just blowing up.
Yeah, when people just like to get.
It's a visual, isn't it? They're just blowing up over there.
Yeah, exactly. Literally blowing.
There was also there was a presenting partner for the event, Mortal Kombat 11. That was the first time that Mortal Kombat was kind of there in force. It was a bit weird because Mortal Kombat 11 is an R18 game.
Oh.
So we have to have it behind like closed doors and curtains.
It's a sneaky game.
Well, you've got Smash on one hand. It's kind of like a, I guess, what is it, PG? I guess it could be
all ages.
I think it's
PG because it's got fantasy violence.
Fantasy violence.
So you've got PG game on the main stage there. So you've got kids potentially coming out, and then you've got literally like killing people with blood and gore as well in Mortal the same Kombat. Stage.
There's that a would lot. Be really awkward. I mean, it's not really that jarring because
you can't do it right.
Well, I mean, you've got the full spectrum there, right? Like you've got Melee, Smash Ultimate, and then Tekken and SF. It you know goes up a little bit, and then you just keep going, and there's MK11, and you just tearing someone to bits.
Yep.
Whatever you're into, dude. I'm not going to kink shame.
Pretty much, yeah, exactly. I'm not going to fighting kink shame.
Fighting.
It was a little bit different as well because there was like a Splatoon, a dedicated Splatoon setup. There was like a cute little artist alley area that I had a friend of mine doing like commissions and all the rest of it, and she seemed to have a pretty good time.
That's awesome.
There was also a PC LAN area.
Why?
I didn't really pay attention to it.
Why?
I don't know why.
It's the same as PAX, why?
There was like 20 PCs there.
It's the same as Supernova. Why?
Why?
Well, I mean, Supernova, I kind of get.
No. I don't. They take up so much space.
You guys want to come to my LAN party?
No. Stop banging on it, mate.
Don't diss LAN parties. LAN parties are awesome.
LAN parties are fun.
I'm not. It's a reference. I'll tell you guys
the
later.
Nerd working in IT says LAN parties are great.
Yeah. Listen to me. I'm knowledgeable.
It just takes me back, you know.
It really does.
Yeah, we did a few of them.
Well, I mean, I think they were playing like Quake Champions or something like that. Like
me, some Red Alert 2, some Warcraft 3.
That's some old. Oh, that's old, man. Yeah. Jesus.
Are you 60?
Give me some Counter-Strike 1.6.
Oh, CS1. No, CS1.6 is still kind of hanging out.
It'll never die.
CSGO doesn't have any loot boxes in Belgium anymore, as it turns out, though.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like, everything being cancelled in Belgium.
It was like, Belgium and then...
An Animal Crossing Pocket Camp.
Yeah.
So funny.
Gambling.
What did they do?
Yep. We were talking about it. We were talking about loot boxes. Yep.
I've spent so much on CSGO case keys. It's ridiculous. I wish they would bring that to Australia, just so they would remove the option for me to just be like, oh, $3.50. Yeah, all right.
I'll buy 20.
I'll just buy... Yeah.
Oh,
stop
no.
it. Get some help.
Get some help.
I may have been drinking.
Oh, it could happen to anyone.
It could happen to anybody.
Gamble risk.
Loot boxes in my game? It's more likely than you think.
Yeah. Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
Oh, ooh.
No.
The thing is, though, very similar to IEM, there were no Australians that really got through to finals.
Yeah,
that's pretty
typical. For like the honestly. Tekken World Tour, at least, because obviously it's a World Tour event, so you're going to have international players come in, and you had some from South Korea and some from Japan. We had a few American commentators as well, so it really is a global event. I mean, Couch Warriors Cross Up in December, we had Dragon Ball FighterZ World Tour, the Saga event, so we had international players coming in again.
Yep.
Weird thing is though, in the top four, there was this like. If you look on the stream, you're like, that's an Australian player. And I was like, I don't see a white person on the stage.
Okay.
Apparently, he used to play in South Korea, and now Brisbane has just kind of adopted him.
Oh, okay.
Why not? He moved over here.
So, yeah, I guess so.
So, did he win the tournament?
No, he didn't win the tournament.
I was gonna say, because
but he was in the top four.
That's pretty good.
That was for Tekken.
Yeah, for Tekken. But awesome. Smash, though. Dr. L won it.
Smash.
Mr. L won it.
Yeah.
And then he... is a Queenslander.
Brisbane boy,
well.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is totally
that's awesome.
Weird for him to
does
pick
he dress
up
as Luigi?
No, that's not what happened. No, not quite.
Is it Mr. L from, like, Paper Mario? Thousand Year Door?
I don't know. No one knows that game exists.
Only you.
Like, we try to forget about it, mate. But you keep
I was
going to
make
back.
A Far Cry 5 joke there, but I won't because I'll trigger some people driving.
But yeah, like, I think that with the... It's got a good mix of local and, like, global stuff, right? Like, you've got a Tekken World Tour, or you've got a Street Fighter World Tour, or a Dragon Ball C... Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Dragon Ball C.
Saga. C? Yeah.
C.
C.
C, here's the thing.
Is it like Disney C?
Dragon Ball Disney C.
Just Dragon Ball on the sea.
And they all drown.
20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. That's a weird reference for me to make. Mm. Read a book.
Read a book. Get educated.
Get some help.
Yeah. It is a developing thing, though. Like, you know, in all esports, like we saw IEM, that's developing up. That's a world event.
Yes.
Almost. Like, you've got people coming in from...
Oh, no, it's definitely... Like, yeah. That is definitely a world event.
And now you've got that, you've got... you got BAM that's mm-hmm. coming into its, I guess, a stride now.
Like, well, I mean, I think I'm of the mind that it has been for the last 3 years, right? Yeah. Like, it's been good because if you're a local, if you're an Australian local, then you have a solid chance of learning a lot playing, even just friendlies with people.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, indeed, like in the pools area, we had pools, you guys
group
know
stage.
What I mean by pools, right? Like, it's just, yeah, mm. not actual.
Mm. I did briefly go to Freud,
Dragon Ball
you
know. C.
So smashing in pools.
Want to smash?
Yeah.
Like you,
no, that's
you'd
just
get,
free.
You'd yeah. get knocked out. Don't. You'd get knocked out. And people would go and play friendlies because
yep.
you have so much to learn playing with others, like other people that are really competent fighters in Australia.
Mm.
Globally, we don't really have a whole lot of like blow your mind talent. Because we always just have international players come in and just wipe the floor, and we're like, although it is awesome to see when an Australian does get close to the top four,
yep.
because holy crap, the crowd gets amped, like takedown, so like they just really want to see the Australian come out on top, and they never do.
They never do, but like,
we'll get there one day.
They got
still
close,
developing scene,
yeah,
you know, cool. like the only problem is we have like it's better now, but back in Smash 4 days.
Mm.
We had Extra.
2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago. Yeah. I know, back in
yeah,
the day.
Yeah, yeah.
In
back
Smash,
in the day.
We had Extra in Smash scene who was just so much better than everybody else.
Yeah.
Playing the character, playing Mr. Game & Watch. But then he went over to America and
yep.
then basically went out of groups. Like, he did, I don't think he made it out of his pool in when he went over there. So there's like this massive disconnect where he's better than everybody
here. But nowhere near as good as anyone that.
But he can't, yeah. Unless yeah. he gets a really lucky group or a really lucky pool, you know, and it... Is that disconnect that we're seeing in a lot of pro esports,
yeah.
which kind of sucks. But we'll get there.
Australia.
We'll get there.
We're Australia.
One
we'll
day.
We'll get there. One day.
Vegemite.
No.
Just code it on the controller just for superpower.
Oh, put it in your USB port for good luck. Disgusting.
IT says no.
So yeah, Battle Arena Melbourne. I don't really know... I don't really know what... BAM 12 is going to look like because it didn't change a lot. It's the biggest open entry competitive esports event in Australia. They had over 1,000 entrants.
That's awesome. Wow.
That's really cool.
But like, I mean, it's like bigger and better. I'm like, yeah, bigger is going to happen. What does better look like? Like,
yeah,
what
exactly.
What do you do to kind of change up the formula? Sure, they had MK, but...
My question is, what do you want to see from it? Like, what would make it better? Well, what brings better?
I'm not... The problem is, you're talking to a boy that doesn't play a lot of fighting games.
Mm.
Like, I work around a lot of these events to try and give it sort of the media coverage that I think it deserves. Because we do need to have better esports coverage in this country.
Yeah, for sure.
But I don't play fighters a lot. Like, I'll play Smash. I'll Smash any time of day.
Want to Smash?
I think that they've done a lot to try and make it more appealing to non-fighters with the Artist Alley and PC, like LAN area and Splatoon. But to go beyond that, I have no idea. Like, do you just start having, like, turn it into like a mini packs, basically, and you just start getting, like, other vendors? They had a few indie games there as well, but
that's
it's always
good.
Been, like, a small thing in the kind of in the corner.
Mm.
It's not quite as sad as, like, EBX Indies in the corner, but
oh, no.
That was really sad.
That was kind of sad. We just don't talk about that. It didn't happen. Poor indies.
But yeah, I don't know where it goes. I have no idea.
I think it's more just maybe the not professionalism, but just like having those sponsors there to make everything look good.
Throw money.
In the background, you know,
yeah.
like overlays for the Twitch streams.
Well, that's a struggle,
you know,
we've always had.
Professional,
like,
you know, set up, you know, when they're sitting on the stage, they're not sitting in like, you know, whatever, just basic desk chairs or
oh, well,
or
I mean,
whatever.
Yeah, like, there have been sponsors that have come on, but...
just stuff like that. Like,
it's always been
things
hard.
To make it all
yeah.
look like a more professional, Americanized or, well, you know, big...
Just
big
boy, yeah.
Big boy tournament. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
BAM 12, big boy.
It'll get there.
BAM 12, big boy.
Australia, we'll get there.
Australia, we'll get there.
You're hanging out on Zed Games
really?
With Jack, Kosh, Kate, Caitlin, and Millie, the full family.
Hi.
We're all together.
Except Adrian.
Look,
he's not. No, we kicked him out.
Banished child.
He banished himself. He brought it on himself.
Yeah, I know.
Caitlin.
I know.
Yeah.
Tell us about relationships and romances in games, because you've been playing Dragon Age.
Yeah.
Fenris is a sweet baby angel.
Yeah, he's good. Isabella is a hottie.
Yeah,
that's
hottie here first.
I was just thinking about it because, like, for myself, a lot of the games that I play, being open world RPGs, some of them have options to sort of follow a romance path. Mm. And you can sort of open up, like, side quests, you can open up a whole other storyline. It directly plays into the direct, like, main storyline sometimes.
Sometimes.
I find it really interesting. And I started thinking about the fact that there are so many games that sort of, like, bring romance into them. So obviously, the main ones that I have experience with are BioWare. So the Dragon Age series, the Mass Effect series. Witcher has an element of romance in it too. They've got, like, a few different potential partners for Geralt that you can romance. But then there's games like, obviously, dating sims are completely romance-based.
I love a dating sim.
Me
so
too.
Good.
Good visual novels.
Or
just
Sims in general.
And then there's, yeah, games like The Sims, where romance is kind of like a goal and an achievement and a, you know, something to work towards.
It's a big part of the whole gameplay.
Well, I mean, the whole thing is it's simulating real life, and I think a lot of people think that that's a big goal in real life, so.
Yeah, like you know how in The Sims you can have, like, somebody who's a social butterfly or somebody who wants to have, like, X amount of husbands or wants to have kids, and it's like it
have 100
can be a
different
goal.
Babies, yeah.
So I just think it's interesting the way that it plays into a lot of different games, and for me, I know that it definitely adds value. I love the role-playing aspect of games like the BioWare series, where you can create a character and then play the game and have the romance with one character, but then you can create a completely different character and then play the whole game through again and have a completely different experience romancing another character. Like,
the issue is I have a problem with it because I want to re-get all those stories. Like, I want to romance the different people, but I don't want to play the whole game again.
Right.
Like,
right.
I want to be like, oh, my persona, right? Too. I really want to, like, get through that social max link for that person, and then I'm like, I really don't want to play 90 hours of gameplay just to get that max for a different love interest.
Yeah.
You can't romance gays in Persona, dude. What's the point?
That, I mean, like, that's another point I wanted to touch on. Like,
exactly.
When there's LGBT representation, which BioWare does really well, there's, I mean, like, not amazingly, but there are options there.
Look, there are options there.
Which is more than you can say for some games.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the problem is we always kind of hold that stuff in higher regard just because it's slim pickings.
Yeah,
but I would argue that Fire Emblem's writing, as far as queer, or even, like, if you just remove the fact that you know that you're playing agender and you might be engaging in a straight romance, like, literally there is a gay mod for Awakening and Fates, and they don't change much of the dialogue because it works both ways. With BioWare, it can be just a little bit of just...
You are sort of limited into, if you're a female, you have the options of X, Y, and Z character.
Yeah.
If you're a male, you have the options of
many, many more.
But also, it's literally just like, want to bang, and then they bang, and then you move on, and the story has, like, not a whole lot of... It's like, it's always, like, tiny little things, whereas I feel like in The Witcher, there's all of this backstory and all of this like, I feel like, even though there aren't gays in Witcher, right, there are gays. You can't romance them, but the romances there were kind of integrated a little bit better than some of the BioWare games.
To be honest, I disagree.
Oh,
yeah. Just because, I mean, I'm a big fan of the Dragon Age series especially. And Dragon Age Inquisition was the first game I played in that series. And I love the little bits of romance you get. I love the sort of side stories that you get to all the characters, the way you get to know all of them. Like, I found that so rewarding and enriching. And The Witcher, I mean, Geralt's fine.
Fine.
No, he's okay.
He's an insert character. Like, he's kind of a cardboard cutout, truthfully. But
I think he's very bland, honestly.
Yeah, that's
yeah. He is. Like, you have a couple of moments where you're like, aha, oh, he did a funny. Oh, thank God.
But it's the other characters really pick up the slack.
Yeah, there are some great characters in The Witcher. Like, when I was playing it, I went down the romance path with Triss, and all I could think was, I love this character so much. I think she's so fantastic. She deserves so much better. But this
you're
is
like,
who
I'm
I've
sorry,
got to
you're
work
dating
with.
Me.
Yeah, so I wanted to know more about her, so I got to go down that path. But I don't feel like there's enough sort of thing. Mm. And, like, with the other characters too, it's the same as with Persona you were saying, Kosh. Like, I would love to romance some of the other characters in Witcher 2, but I'm not going to play The Witcher to level 35 again.
Just to romance somebody else. Mm. Yeah. Is it because, like, a lot of these games, I guess Persona is kind of an outlier with that, but the rest of them being RPGs is the developers can't write a character that you're playing because there's so many different options. They never know how you're going to respond.
They do.
Why is it an outlier? Like Persona over like a BioWare or a Witcher, like they're all RPGs.
Yeah, but it's the JRPG side where it's like
you're still playing hours and hours, right?
Yeah, I just felt like it was not the exploring one. So you're like going down the straight corridor, kind of. Yeah, it's the day of events that you can only do so many things. Yeah. Where
you're stuck
Witcher,
on that rail.
You can just run around in circles for 10 days and it's completely fine and it doesn't affect the story.
Yeah,
and it's and you know, do whatever you want.
Your Witcher experience sounds phenomenal.
It's so good.
But like,
I need to play this game
to the extent like Dragon Age and Mass Effect kind of are the same. Like, you can go off and you can do all these other side quests and you can run around in this area and run around in that area and do your side quests, go back and like unlock little bits of romance sort of things. It's fun. It doesn't feel, it is still linear, definitely. You can only do things in an order, but it doesn't feel like you're sort of bound to one thing.
I will raise also, because we're talking about Persona and Persona romances are great. The tone of Persona is phenomenal. Catherine. Like,
that's an interesting one.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a little bit different where it's like, I'm more than happy to go back through that game because it's so dependent on the relationships and on the characters. And it's not a big cast, but they all really have the time. Like, you can tell the writers have really put the effort into fleshing these characters out.
It's just a fascinating game, full stop.
But then it can also get a bit weird.
Yeah,
I mean, it's weird,
not an RPG,
but...
though.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's like the same kind of VN style. Like, you've got the VN and RPG Persona for Persona, and you've got VN and Puzzle for Catherine. Mm. It's the same style, I think. Mm. It's just that the core nerdy part of the game, right? Mm. Like, you've got Thirst and then you've got Nerd.
Yeah.
In both games, they're the same thing as far as Thirst is concerned. If you're a nerd, you've got different kinds of gameplay.
Yeah. What I really like about Catherine is that it's weird. You get chased by a giant butt monster at one point.
It's a good gameplay feature.
However, when I was looking into it, what I saw, what I really enjoyed, like, it's a weird, you know, Japan game. Like, it's weird. So you expect
weird. It is weird.
And there's, like, you know, the anime response, like, "Hah!" and all that sort of stuff. But it's a really good look into the psychological side of relationships.
Mm. Yeah.
And definitely, that's what I really want to see more of in games. Mm. Like, what do your choices affect in this relationship? Because rather than it's just like, you know, good choice, bad choice, that sort of thing. Like, I'd rather, you know, the relationship develops over time, which is why I really like visual novels, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Dream Daddy and that sort of thing.
It's a little bit weird.
It's working
like,
towards
Catherine's weird like that in that it's only yes or no, but it still feels like it kind of branches out enough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The other kind of thing that we haven't discussed a whole lot of, I feel like, is Sims specifically as well, right?
Yeah.
Like, with Sims, is it... I've not played Sims in my life, actually.
Oh, okay.
Love Sims.
So the beautiful thing about Sims is that they have, in my opinion, and I'm probably biased...
It's all right.
They've done diversity right.
Yeah.
Because they've introduced transgender Sims.
Yeah,
you can be transgender.
Really? Yeah, you can make a trans Sim.
You can be relationships with whoever, whatever, alien, werewolf, vampire.
Whatever you want.
Don't care.
Sounds like,
go there.
Sounds like Mass Effect, dude.
Yeah. Well, yeah, pretty much, yeah.
It's like Mass Effect.
The thing with Sims is that relationships, as with any other feature in the game, are meant to mimic real-life relationships.
Mm-hmm.
However, with it being... something they have to simulate, they can get really robotic.
Yeah.
So, you know, chat.
Just kiss. Flirt.
Make a joke. Yeah. And then just go through it and then you're like, now we're married. It was 3 hours. Thanks. Next.
Fast
babies.
Forward.
Moving
flirt,
on.
Flirt,
yeah.
Flirt, yes.
Yeah.
If
we didn't look at it in a gaming mindset, though, I feel like we wouldn't do that. Like, if you're actually playing The Sims as a simulation of, you know, human interaction or however you wanted to play it, you would only talk to that person for like an hour and then you'd go, okay, bye, and then you'd run away. But because we're gaming, we're playing it as a game.
You stand there for
3 hours. We're like, this is my objective.
Exactly.
I want to get this done.
I want to do the woohoos, so I'm going to press X to woohoo as much as I can to get that thing.
Yeah. You know, from what I've seen with people, like, I've watched some people play The Sims, like, realistically, like, they try to play it realistically.
Okay.
Like, obviously the time is sped up and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the relationships take so much longer. because like they sort of put a time limit on themselves. So they're like, oh, I'm going to talk to this person about how long, you know, I would talk to a person, which is like, you know, if I don't know them enough, it's just like, hello, how are you? Good. Okay, bye.
I'm not going to jump into a flirt now. I'm going to wait until next week, after I've spoken to you 100 times more.
Let me just like show a bit of leg and it's like, oh, woohoo now.
That's let me just sexy pose. We've met for like 10 seconds. Yeah. Here's my sexy pose.
Just jogging past and, oh, hello. Yeah.
Yeah, woohoo now.
I'm pretty sure that's just Grindr.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's Grindr.
I feel like we've basically run out of time at this point.
We have, as usual.
It's okay. I feel like we'll touch back on this because we did it with the sequel discussion, and I feel like there's a lot more that can be. We can look a lot more into this stuff because
tweet at us.
Tweet us, tell us our DMs.
Tell us your favorite games that have romance elements in them, whether that be ones that you actively contribute to, that you choose, or that just it's part of the story. Because that's something I wanted to touch on too. Yeah. Is like forced romance. So your character is in love with this person.
Yeah,
I cannot stand.
So yeah, tweet at us.
What makes romance good in games? That's what we want to hear.
Yeah, we want to hear from.
Tell us your opinions because I would love to know.
And tell me some games that you want romance in.
Yeah,
Lara Croft. I'm looking at you.
Yeah,
let me be her girlfriend.
Crush me with your thighs,
crush
Lara
me
Croft.
With your butt.
That was literally Millie's first review. It was like, oh man, Lara Croft could destroy me and I'd be fine. And I was like, Millie.
Oh, she bring could. It back. She could.
Tweet at us at ZEDGamesAU. You can find us on Facebook and Instagram as well. Next week, I might be chatting Team Sonic Racing and Kate might be chatting
Internet Gaming Disorder.
Yes. I'm ready for these good chats.
Until next week, we love and appreciate you sliding into our DMs. We'll see you next time.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.